The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
The Gathering. The supernatural world can be a dark, intimidating, and scary place. We gather to shine light on the mysterious and misunderstood aspects of the paranormal world. We bring to the table years of experience as mediums, healing channels, and paranormal investigators.
We share true stories from our experiences to dispel fear where we can and help you discover the amazing layers that make up the paranormal world. You are invited to gather around the metaphysical table with us and discuss the worlds of the unseen on the Gathering Radio Show.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Gathering Radio Show on the Para-X Radio Network here in 2021. This is Heidi.
And this is Stephanie, and welcome to the Metaphysical Table for our very first Paranormal Smorgasbord of 2021.
Woo! The first one! Woo! The first show of 2021.
The first show.
First Paranormal Smorgasbord of 2021. Mm-hmm. My goodness, all sorts of excitement tonight.
Right? Right? It's exciting. I know. A whole new year. Hopefully we'll get our stuff in order before, you know, halfway through the year like we did last year.
Well, I think we're off to a better start this year. It just feels like we've got some plans.
I think we are. We do. We have some plans going on.
Planning.
Yeah. Goodbye 2020.
Yeah. Goodbye 2020, Mike says in the chat room. Yeah. Well, you know, and I've been seeing people say like, Happy New Year. It's like, well, okay, how about just happier New Year? Like, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, happier New Year. Exactly. Because Happy New Year just sounds kind of ridiculous at this point. Because, like, we said that last year and look what happened, right? And I don't want to be like a downer or anything, but let's just be real. We're not clear in 2020 by anything, you know, by any major leaps at this point yet. So let's just say, hey, happier 2021 to everybody.
Yes. Yes. Let's have a, you know, let's make it a good one if we can. We're going to try. We're going to
do
have
our
that
best.
Positive mindset.
Yes, we can all chip in a little bit of goodness and probably at least help it out anyway.
I sure hope so.
That's my goal. Chip in a little extra goodness and see where it gets us.
Mm-hmm.
I hope that I can do more. I plan to do more. Let's put it that way. Hoping
yes.
It sounds silly to say that. I plan to do more.
Yeah.
Chipping into the good factor.
Well, and we still have a lot of darkness left before spring comes, so a lot of dark times to hang out in the house and work on ourselves, right? And work on our attitudes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
absolutely. Work on our attitudes. Hey, speak for yourself. You work on your own attitude. Mine's fine. No, I don't know. We can all work on our stuff, right?
Let's just be happy. Remember what Gina said, if we say we're happy, we are happy.
Yeah. No, I know. It's we're a little wild and woolly after the last year. I feel like I've been run through the ringer.
I know.
You know? I think a lot of us feel that. We're feeling the stretch.
Yes. Yes, I agree. It was a crazy, crazy year. So on to better things in 2021. Wow,
that's
I can't believe it's 2021.
That's the hope and the plan. So
we'll
see where that takes us. But yeah, it's good. You know, it always just feels good anyway, just to have that clean slate. Whether, you know, I sent an email out and it's because I have a tarot class starting tomorrow night. And I just said, hey, it's 2021. Not that that gives us a magic wand that erases whatever has been and just poof, everything now is good. But, you know, it just gives you hope, right?
Yes.
You can just grab onto that a little bit stronger and hope that, you know, things will keep getting better. And not that it's bad for everybody. And I'm not implying, I don't want to say that, you know, because there's some good things too. And there's some really good things that came out of 2021 or 2020 for a lot of people. So, or pieces, you know, that came out that were good. So, but you know, it's nice to have a fresh start, a little bit of extra hope and some positive vibes floating that you can just, you know, hang out there for a little bit and go, yep, we can do this. We made it through last year. We can get through anything, I believe.
Absolutely. You know, we survived it.
Believe. Yes. Mike in the chat room, you see what he said? Yeah, he said, yes, 2020 was bad, but the gathering has helped keep away the cabin fever every Tuesday, and thank you for that.
Oh, Mike. Thank you for that.
Thank you. Yeah, that's sweet.
Yeah, we're glad. Yeah, and we have a lot of cool subjects coming up this year that we've got on the agenda. We're still working on guests. We're hoping to find some experts that can chat with us also. But
yeah, a lot of our topics came from the chat room, so thanks, everybody.
A lot of them have come right from these paranormal smorgasbords.
Yep.
Really.
Yep, you know? For sure.
So
yeah, it's fun to get the ideas from everybody. So thank you.
Yeah. It'll be awesome. Awesome sauce. So, well, what do you have to talk about on the agenda tonight, Heidi, for the paranormal smorgasbord?
Yeah. I got a couple of things lined up here and, oh, that was the thing you sent me. Let me get out of that. I'll let you talk about that. So where did it go? There it is. So I was scrolling around and I found this article about this gal. Let's see how, I didn't even check and see how old it is. Oh, December of 2020. So why not add this to the you know, box of junk from 2020. But so it was about this gal who has a haunted wedding dress. And I was like, well, tell. So, you know, if you guys drop like haunted wedding dress into the chat room, I'm like, well, don't just say that. It's like, I need more information. So I see this title of this article, haunted wedding dress. I'm like, click, probably like a million viruses on my computer now because of this, but whatever. So she said that bride to be revealed how she's selling her haunted wedding dress after a string of eerie occurrences around her home. Now get this. So apparently, since she brought this dress into her house, there have been items that are moving, unexplained smells, swarms of flies and flying objects. And eventually it convinced her that this dress is, you know, the cause, right?
Yeah.
So she's selling it online for $600, right? And I'm like, okay, so this isn't like, well, why is this dress haunted? Well, here's where it came from. Don't even, like, why would anybody do this? While my fiance and I were hiking through a small town between Fairfax and Carbonado, Washington, we came across an old gold rush town that was completely abandoned. Needless to say, our curiosity got the best of us, and we started to explore the ruins of this ghost town. Now, she said they came across a small cottage that was kind of run down. They shimmied up into it. So that sounds like breaking and entering. Came across this dress. It was gorgeous, she said. She froze when she saw it. But it kind of scared her, you know, because it was just really like connecting with her.
Right.
And so she took it. Well, maybe it's just karma is coming after you, because it sounds like you broke in, you stole it, and you took it home. And now you're trying to sell it, but you didn't pay for it because you stole it out of a house you broke into. So I'm like, there's a whole bunch of stuff here that's just not right about this. Now, I'm not assuming that, I mean, who knows if this article is true, if it's just a tall tale, whatever. But it's just, it's funny because here you steal a dress from a house you broke into. I don't care if it's abandoned or not. It's not your house, right? And now you're trying to sell it for lots of money.
Yeah.
I'm just like, well, that's interesting. But, you know, what if that really did happen? You know, you've got these things flying around. You got swarms of flies and these horrible smells. She said there was one time it smelled like rotten eggs.
Oh,
and,
geez.
Another that smelled like fire in the house. Like there was a fire, but there was no fire. Swarms of flies. Yeah, I'm looking at this. She said that they attempted to bless the dress with holy water. It just made it more intense with the activity. Doors slamming, lights turning off and on, candles being blown out, which I guess that could be anything. Footsteps all over the place that weren't by anyone in the apartment. She said it only when she gave it to her future mother-in-law for cleaning and tailoring that things changed. During the 2 months that the dress was out of the house, she had peace, no more tension in the room, no more arguing between them. Apparently they were arguing. The mother-in-law never got it dry clean and begged her not to get married in the dress because of the energy surrounding it. But this gal never told the mother-in-law about any of this stuff. She just gave it to her, got it out of the house. And the mother-in-law is like, absolutely not. I'm not even going to take it in. Don't. The energy is horrible. And so she figured that out on her own, apparently. So now they are, she's trying to sell it. And this online community is kind of apparently same, you know, they're kind of disgusted. It says that she'd try and sell a dress that she stole. And so people are kind of, I guess, going after her for it. But anyway, there's someone commented, apparently, teach you to go around stealing wedding dresses from ghost towns. Yeah. So, and someone else had commented that it looks like she should just get rid of it or return it to where she found it. Someone else said burn it and dump the ashes in a river. You know, so lots of comments as to what to do with it. But if it was me, okay, first of all, it wouldn't be me because I wouldn't have taken it in the first place.
No.
But if someone brought it to me and said, hey, this is what's happening, what do I do? I would have said, you march your butt right over there and you put it back.
Yes, and so, beg for forgiveness.
Sherry in the chat room said, Zach Bagans will buy it. I'm sure he would.
Yeah, he would.
She's selling it for $600, Zach. There you go. Go get it.
And then he would have more awful things in his eyes.
That's just, I would have told her, go put it back and shame on you for stealing it. Like, what? But, you know, you hear those, I can't remember what ghost town it is, that there's been a lot of shows on it that it looks like everybody just picked up and left.
Yeah.
And they say, don't take anything out of this because you'll have bad luck, right?
Oh, we might
talk about this on one of our shows, actually. And so you hear rumors about this because you wonder, like, these ghost towns, how much energy is still there from the people who live there and the people that died there. You know, there could be people that left, but what about people that died there and that are still attached to the place? And, you know, you go and steal something because none of that's yours. Obviously, it's not yours. And you take something out of it that's stealing. That could make a spirit angry. Right? You know, even just because they're bored, they don't have anything to do besides follow you because you took someone's stuff, you know? So anyway, I saw that and I'm like, well, first of all, you're going to wear a stolen wedding dress. You stole it and now you're going to wear it for your wedding. Like, that can't set a marriage up for a good start, I would imagine, unless you're both just thieves and that's just how you roll and that doesn't bother you. Then I guess you can do that, or I still wouldn't do it. But anyway,
well, you know what I want to know is, so if this, depending on the age of the ghost town, so they said it was a gold mine. What kind of a mine did they say it was?
It was a ghost town,
An old mining town.
It looked like in Washington State.
So I wonder how old it was, because, you know, clothes typically deteriorate quite rapidly. So when was this dress put in there and why? And of course, we don't know these answers, but.
No. Still. And frankly, I mean, I don't even know if the story is true because it was on the internet, right?
Right.
But I know I've heard this happen from other, you know, other stories from other, like, ghost towns, right? And so, yeah, you wonder how legit is the story. But anyway, it's something interesting to think about because I would imagine it could happen, whether it's that or some other item that someone takes, you know, the energy could come with the item, just like anything, you know, you go to an antique store, although you purchased it. So I think it's not as bad of energy, but you can still get stuff from an antique store that comes home to you. You got to watch that stuff. I've had stuff that I've brought for the Halloween open house.
Yeah.
And that energy is wild. The twins, those two dolls.
Yeah. No.
Got to keep them separate and don't touch them.
Well, just think anything that I ever buy at a secondhand store, even, I come home and I smudge the heck out of it before I ever let it in the house. You know?
Yeah.
Just because
should.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You want to get rid of all the other energy that's attached to that, be it, you know, someone who's dead or someone who's living, or maybe they have bad energy and they got rid of it, you know? So, yeah, it's important, I think.
Yep. Yeah. Mike said the same thing. Where is the ghost town? What kind of shape could the dress be in? Yeah, yeah. Washington State is what it looked like. But you know what's interesting is I did an investigation. Gosh, I was probably 25. So it's almost 25 years ago, which is nuts. They asked me to come and do a walkthrough at this house that was, it's a historic house over by Fort Snelling. And it wasn't open to the public. It was still under conservationists were working in it, and so neither house was open to the public. And I went in there, and well, before I even went there, I got sucked into this remote view for this house. And one of the things was this gal standing at the top of the stairs, and she was just crying and wailing that her dress was gone. And she was actually wearing a nightgown, I think. And I'm like, well, your dress, you know, I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. Because I don't know who you are. I don't know where I am. And this was, you know, I was still kind of trying to figure out this whole remote viewing thing anyway. So I had no idea what was going on. And I got a whole bunch of other things, but whatever. I went over there with my friend who was working there as a apprentice at the time. And then her boss. And they gave me a tour of the, you know, they just kind of let me walk around. And I said, there's a gal here who... I said, I don't know. She's looking for a dress and she's really upset, like crying, wailing. She's wearing a nightgown. And I'm like, I don't know if it's her only dress or if it's a special dress, but she shows me this empty wardrobe and there's no dress. It's all empty. You know, she's saying her dress is gone. Well, apparently, and my friend didn't know this because she's an apprentice and this happened all before she started working there, is in the upstairs, there's a wardrobe that they have found a dress that they believed was an old wedding dress. You know, it didn't look like modern wedding dresses. It wasn't white, you know, whatever. They did things a little differently back then, but it was from, you know, the 1800s. Mm-hmm. And it was still in there, but they didn't have the technology or the supplies or whatever to work on it here in Minnesota. So they actually sent it to the Smithsonian. So that was gone by the time my friend started working there. So she didn't even know about it. So obviously she couldn't have told me about it. Mm-hmm. And so when I told them about it, they were like, what are you talking about? Like, nobody knows about that dress. And we'd sent it away. And it was like, but it was in good enough shape. My point is, it was in good enough shape for them to spend the money to repair it. And that was sitting in this house. There's no heat. There's no AC. So you've got the cold, the humidity, everything. And it was still intact enough fix it. Yeah. So... and it was going to be gone for a long time. Like, who knows what order of where it is in the line of things to work on once it gets there. But anyway, I don't know. I mean, who knows how old? I would imagine that there could be some kind of clothing, you know, that could last depending on, you know, if it's in a house. You know,
well, you know, Jerry is saying in the chat room, Steph, remember the Indian maiden dress over 200 years old looked new? Yes, I do. We did an investigation on the Santee Reservation down in Nebraska. And at the museum there, they had this beautiful Indian maiden dress. I so wanted to try it on because it would have fit to a T. You know, it was just the right size. But we actually got an EVP that said, don't touch the dress.
Wow. Cool.
Isn't that crazy? But it was beautiful, but it was deer hide. You know, it was the First Nations typical. It was beautiful. It was beaded. It was deer hide. Gorgeous dress. It's still there. So if anybody ever is wandering around down there in Santee, Nebraska, go to that museum because I'm sure it's still on display. It is just gorgeous. Cool. So
yeah, they have a museum up in Alexandria that I think has some traditional native, you know, attire or something. It's beautiful. It's like beadwork and stuff. It's just beautiful. I would imagine leather would hold up better. But, you know, depending on if it's inside, it's not exposed to the elements other than, you know, extreme cold and heat, you know, or humidity. I know that can do some damage too. But, I don't know what the dress looked like. There was a picture, but the picture for this article looked like it could have been a little bit more modern than what it actually was. But I would imagine that some clothing could probably hold up depending on what it is or isn't exposed to. So, but anyway, I thought that was kind of silly because who does
cool
that?
Cool story. But yeah, I think when people find stuff like that and they take it, they're just, you know, they're just setting themselves up. I had a message a couple of weeks ago from somebody out in New York who was saying that he was having, you know, terrible things happen and he stole something from a cemetery, you know, I don't know how many years ago. And ever since then, he's had these horrible things happening. And he said, what do I do? And I said, I think you need to bring it back, you know? Mm-hmm. And he said, well, I don't even know if I could find the grave. And I'm like, well, I think you need to go to where somewhere close and put it back and say you're sorry and beg yep. for forgiveness, you know. And then I referred him to Jerry, and I know Jerry did take the case, and I don't know whatever happened to that. I know he talked to him, and I don't remember if I heard about actually what happened in the end. But I'm just like, well, okay, first of all, don't take things from a cemetery, you know, and expect nothing to happen to you. It's not yours. These people have died. It's theirs. Leave it be, you know?
Yeah. But I mean, that's more of a respect thing anyway. You just don't take stuff that's not yours. I mean, it's one thing you pick up a rock or a seashell or something when you go somewhere, but you don't, like, what would you take from a cemetery, first of all? Like, I don't even know. Like, do you go into a mausoleum and like take a brick or something?
Oh, I can't remember what he said it was. Now Jerry's saying that he returned it and so far all is well. Well, that's good. That's exactly what I told him, you know. And
good. Well, yeah, and even if you don't know exactly where it came from in the cemetery, just go back and try, like, do your best, like, show like intention that you have, like, you're sorry and get it back there.
Yeah.
Oh, a kid's soccer ball from his grave. Oh, that's terrible.
A kid's soccer ball.
Took the soccer ball off a kid's grave. Seriously, I want to haunt the guy now.
Yeah, me too. I didn't know it was that. I don't think I ever found out exactly what it was. He said, I took something from a graveyard. And I'm like, oh, okay, well, that's your first mistake. I'm just so deadpan. It's like, okay, well, that's your first mistake.
What is going to possess someone to do something like that? Sherry says karma. Well, yeah, that's like,
whatever. Well, I'm glad he got things worked out and he returned it and asked for forgiveness. So, you know, hopefully all is well on that front. But oh my goodness. Oh, wow. So, right? That's what I say. Some of the things that people come up with and they message me, and that was just out of the blue, you know? I'm like, okay, well, you know, I'm...
Well, and, you know, it's funny, too, because, you know, it's on some level, people are wondering what could happen. They take stuff because they're like, hey, I have a little memento or whatever. But also, somewhere, if it's not in their conscious thought, they're thinking somewhere in their head, I wonder if anything could happen. And it gives them maybe probably a little thrill or kick, but they don't actually think like something could happen that they don't like, you know? Then it does happen and they're like, oh, now what? It's like, well,
what have I done?
You didn't think of all the 1 million things that could have happened. Like, this could go any direction. You have no idea all the possibilities.
Right.
And so you're going to do it anyway. Well, then there you go. Now you get what you get.
Yes. I agree. And I just, you know, some people might have been more nice about it, but I was like, okay, well, you know, whatever, you got to get it back. Well, I can't. I said, yes, you want to live like this? This is what's going to happen. Well, you know, blah, blah, blah. Oh, my goodness. Sure. Anyway, yes. So I guess bottom line is, if you find a cool place, don't take anything from there. Really, you know, it's fun to look at it. I think you can look at it, but put it back. You know, don't take it. You know.
Yeah.
So yeah, karma for sure. What if it's a mafia grave and they saw you and then found you? Yeah, right. Well, there's the other thing. What if it is?
Oh,
and they
no.
come after you with the machine guns, you know?
Who knows? Well, I don't know. You got to be careful with that kind of stuff because you don't know what can happen. And that's where I think people kind of fall short. They just think, oh, maybe something will come around and I'll get spooked. And then they'll laugh and act like they can turn it off like the TV. And I don't think that some people understand how far something could go when you're messing around with spirit.
Mm-hmm.
So
common sense has become so rare now, it's now a superpower, Kat says. Yeah, I agree with that one.
Well, yeah, I think for
goodness,
it can be a stretch for some folks,
you know. So here's I found this story earlier today too, and this was just published today, and it's about South Carolina teens who were exploring a haunted house and they stumbled upon a body in the freezer.
What? So this is an abandoned house or what? Or they broke in?
Yeah, so they were exploring an allegedly haunted house and wound up discovering this dead body in the freezer.
So nobody actually lived there, like they broke into someone's house and were messing around.
No, the strange incident occurred this past weekend in the town of Norway, South Carolina. Who would guess? As eight youngsters were riding ATVs in a remote part of the community, at some point they came upon this abandoned house, which is rumored to be haunted. And of course, they threw caution to the wind and went inside. And it says as they were looking around, they stumbled upon a big freezer and decided to open it up. And when they opened it up, they were greeted by an ungodly smell, which they initially suspected was rotting meat. And
so
it was,
obviously the freezer wasn't plugged in anymore,
right?
Or running, because the house was abandoned. Okay.
Yep. And the contents of the freezer were far more gruesome than merely pork chops, because the horrified teen realized that the meat was wearing jeans and socks.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my goodness. No. Well, anyway, so they called the police and they got there and collected the body. And they feel like it had been there for months and could quite possibly be a victim of foul play. Well, and then it ends up with,
didn't do it to himself. So.
Right? Yeah. And then it says, as for the teenagers, it would seem that they are now haunted by something far more unsettling than a ghost, the stench.
And that is foul.
Oh, yeah. Foul.
I smelled that smell that had been there for like 2 weeks when I went to where I went, and it was, that's icky. It's an icky smell that gets in your lungs and you can't get it out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's worse when you know it's human instead of like an animal. I don't know.
Well, and closed up in an insulated chamber, right? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Anyway, so that just happened last weekend. So how about that? That's cool. Gotta say, but
so
cool.
Mike says, I wonder if the body was the owner of the house.
I don't know. It doesn't say that. I suppose maybe there'll be more on this at some time in the future. But
yeah,
yeah, been there for months. It caca.
That's horrible. So,
yeah.
Oh, and then Zach does that too. Is that Sherry's comment? Zach does that too. He went to an abandoned house. Abandoned is in quotes here. We're doing air quotes here for you guys. Abandoned house at Kay's Hollow. So it was abandoned. They didn't have permission to be there. Kind of abandoned.
Oh. So see, they're just doing bad things. When it's on TV, then kids think that they can go ahead and go on to places they don't have permission to go to too.
Oh, she said, that they didn't have permission. I didn't think they did that. I thought they got permission where they went. Unless he was somewhere else and he decided to, you know, detour.
Yep.
Like, ooh, look at that house there. Let's go check it out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
which,
I mean, I would.
Yeah, you can't do that.
I would not, you know. I mean, it's one thing if you know, like, there's an old abandoned house. Actually, my dad used to live in it back in the day down in the valley. And I would love to go back in there. Because when I was a kid, you know, that many years ago, if there was an abandoned house, everybody went in it. It was no big deal. Nobody asked permission. Of course, we certainly weren't paranormal people. And my dad had grown up there, right? But it's still standing. And I just think, oh, someday I'm going to go up and talk to that owner because I know who he is. He has the farm right next door. They just let the farm go, right? So it's a big, beautiful house on top of the hill. Well, it's not beautiful anymore. But I would just love to go through there again. You know, I don't even know if you can, you know, it's probably the floorboards are probably all rotted and you can't get through it anymore.
Yeah,
but I would never think of doing that today, you know, without saying, hey, can I do this? You know, so yeah.
Yeah. Sherry's saying they were going through the forest with permission, but broke into the house.
Oh,
but the house wasn't something that was part of the deal. At least that's how it appeared on the show. Now, who knows? Because maybe, you know, to jazz it up a bit, they get permission, but they say they don't have permission to make it more exciting, you know, dangerous or whatever.
Oh, sure.
Which isn't cool, because now there's kids going, oh, Zach did it. We could do it.
Yes.
And, you know, whether he got permission or not, it appears in the show that he didn't have permission.
That's right. So he's sending out a bad message, and it gives paranormal investigators a bad name, honestly. You know, like Jerry said, some teams preach never to trespass, but they do so. And same thing. Then they give the whole profession a bad name, right?
Yep.
Right.
So, yeah, you just have to. Yeah, you have to watch what you do, and that's one. Yeah, we say that too in our group. Like, no trespassing. You got to get permission. That's just, you can't do that. Plus, it's dangerous. I mean, yeah, you could be running around in this abandoned house. Like you said, the floorboards are, you know, old and rickety, and you fall through and break your leg and or worse. And
you can get really hurt. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's not a good thing. That's, you know, one of the sacred rules of Supernatural Investigators of Minnesota was that we never went anywhere without permission. So anyhow, just saying. You know what? We've already went through 30 minutes. Half of the show is now gone. Mike is saying they video, and then they videotaped themselves committing the crime. Here's your sign. All right. We're going to be back in 2 minutes. This is The Gathering Radio Show on the Para X Radio Network.
Whether you're listening at home, at work, or anywhere, thanks for making Para X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal. Para X.
Hi, I'm Kimberly Juarez with Cat Paranormal of Minnesota.
Hi, I'm Willow Lehman Shunt, psychic medium, Dark NOLA Paranormal, New Orleans.
And I'm Jerry Ayers with Supernatural Investigators of Minnesota. And together, we are The Calling. Every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time and 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on ParaXRadioNetwork.com.
Light to shine so brightly, the darkness must be present. Tune in every Monday at 10 o'clock, The Dark Sun Rising, on the Para X Radio Network.
Are you haunted by shadow people in the middle of the night?
Do you secretly love all things creepy and spooky, enjoying ghost stories and horror fiction from the best storytellers?
Do you have a true ghost experience you want to share, but no one will believe you?
If yes, listen to the professionals on What Are You Afraid of? Horror Paranormal Show, Friday nights at 9 p.m. on Para X Radio and at www.whatareyouafraidofpodcast.com.
What are you afraid of on Para X?
Our creepy and demented hosts are on call to provide you with all your spooky needs with true ghost stories, interviews, indie music, and new horror fiction. We are ready to scare you.
Para X.
Welcome back to The Gathering Radio Show on the Para X Radio Network. And we're talking about all sorts of good paranormal and fun topics here on our Paranormal Smorgasbord, our first one of 2021. Mm-hmm. And we were talking about, you know, the findings, right, Steph, in an abandoned house. And then how do you end up in an abandoned house anyway if you don't have permission? It's not good. And Mike in the chat room during break had said, dishonest contrived drama to make shows more exciting is a general problem with reality TV. Mm-hmm. Because reality TV, I think we can all pretty much agree, is not real.
No.
And there's a lot of things that we don't know that happen to make up the show, you know, to make it happen or make it more exciting or whatever. So it could be, hey, we're going to just sneak into this house. We don't have permission, but oh, let's go. And really, they might have complete permission. They've already checked it out ahead of time to know that it's safe and they're not going to fall through the floorboards. But again, you're sending a bad message out, you know, to the community saying, hey, this is what paranormal investigators do. And it's okay if you do it too. Go ahead and, you know, break into a random house and check it out and see what happens. Not cool.
That's called urban explorers, right? Remember AC Slade? We haven't had him on for a while, but that's what he did.
Oh, dear.
That crazy rocker boy.
Can't support that.
No, for sure.
Need permission.
So anyway, so see the rabbit hole. So, you know, we started in on this, you know, what if you take something from somewhere you've been? Well, that's what happens. Not such good things.
Or finding a body.
Or finding bodies. Yes.
Oops.
Oh, yes.
They figure out what happened because that's sad. You don't want to find, you don't want to be left in a freezer, you know, your body left in a freezer. So I hope they find out what happened and they can give that person a proper resting place.
Mm-hmm. I sure hope so. Yeah. Then I found this picture of an angel photographed hovering over firefighters in Poland. This was just published today, too, and I'll put it on the chat. It is pretty cool. Who knows if it's real or if it's, you know, just clouds, but it's pretty cool. And the fact that it's, you know, the circumstances surrounding it are just cool. It says a remarkable, I'll quote the article, and it said a remarkable photograph from a fire in Poland shows what appears to be an angel hovering in the sky over the scene. The jaw-dropping image was reportedly snapped last month as firefighters were battling a blaze in the community of, I have no idea what that says, multi-die, whatever. The picture was subsequently posted to social media by the mystified fire department, who marveled at the wondrous sight and left their social media users to draw their own conclusions as to what can be seen in the photo. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, it's a cool photo. I hope it's real.
I know, you know, and they're saying that the, you know, that they talked to one of the firefighters and he said he didn't see anything, you know, of course he was working and he didn't look around. And, you know, he said that he's seen strange figures in photos taken during rescue operations, which I have heard. I have heard a lot of people talk about, you know, their ambulance workers or whatever, like at the scene of an accident, and photographs are taken, and here's, you know, the spirit of the person who just died in their arms, basically hovering above them. So, you know, who knows? It's crazy. And then they're saying, you know, if we have such protection from the afterlife watching over us, I feel very calm about safety during the operation. So,
yeah.
Yeah, so they're saying they think it was a guardian angel protecting them as they tried to stop this blaze. That's actually pretty cool.
I think it's cool, and I hope that this is real. Like, I don't know. It just, you want to have the good out there, because there's so much hard stuff and so much bad news and negative things that get publicized, and you just want, like, just let the angel picture be real, all right? let's just hope it's real.
I agree. And we have, you have photographed angels, and Sam has certainly photographed a few things. I can't really say that they look like angels, but who knows, you know? So yeah, it's very interesting. I love it when I see these things, because it just, it makes your mind wonder for sure.
I wonder if I have the picture somewhere on my, I'll have to look and see if I have it in my thing. Because yeah, I'll post it in the chat room. Otherwise you can go to my website and see that my angel picture.
Yeah, because we have, I know Sim has some pretty cool pictures from, I think we were up on the borderland doing some investigations at some point, and I don't remember where they are. It's on a different computer than this one, so I can't even go back and find it. But yeah, I mean, you know, as paranormal investigators, we always get those pictures that are, wow, but you know, you don't really know. So that's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, the one that, the reason, you know, I don't normally, when I take pictures and I say, oh, it's an angel, like I didn't, when I took that picture, I did not say, oh, it's an angel, because first of all, I didn't even see it in the photo. And then investigator that was there, when I posted, because there was an orb in the picture, that's why I posted it. And one of the guys said, Heidi, did you see that you have an angel in your picture? I'm like, I don't have an angel. But I said, that's weird, though, because I had just gotten done talking with what I believed was an angel at this location, using, what was I using? Dowsing rods and a K2 meter and I think a flashlight, like a whole bunch of pieces of equipment were out and we were at a park. And I just, it, all these things kept making everything light up or whatever, saying there's something here. And I could, I'm like, are you a man? Are you a woman? Because this is right, there had, this was not too far away from the bridge that collapsed, right? The 35W bridge, right after that happened. And there had been some people that died, 13 people, I think, died in that. And, you know, we wanted to see if there was anybody still there that needed help to go. You know, we wanted them to be able to get out of there if they were trapped or whatever. So we were trying to help. And there was a being that kept coming through. It was like, we were talking to someone. Are you a man? No. Are you a woman? No. Yeah. Are you a kid? No. I'm like, what's left? Are you an animal? No. I'm like, okay. And finally I said, I don't understand what you are. And my dowsing rods crossed for yes. and the K2 lit up. And I was like, I don't understand what you are. And you're saying, yes, you don't understand. I'm like, well, what's left? And then it's like I heard the word in my head and I said, is this an angel? And everything lit up again. Everything, all my stuff was going crazy. And I'm like, oh my goodness. So under that, you know, assumption that that was true, that there's an angel here. We were talking probably for 20 minutes about this angel that kind of guards the park that we were in, this area, and watches over everybody and everything, and, you know, wishes that more people could hear the messages that this angel had. But the angel doesn't leave the area. It's just kind of like the guardian of that area. And I thought, wow, this is super cool. And there was probably 10, 12 people standing around watching this. So it wasn't just me. I wish we had filmed it. We didn't. But, you know, we were, you know, it was probably 12 people. And after we got done, because everything kind of started to fade, you know, how I think, you know, spirits or beings just kind of, they run out of energy, right?
Yeah.
And so after probably 15, 20 minutes, we stopped getting a lot of answers. And so we thought, okay, they're gone. You know, thanks for chatting. We're really grateful to have you talk to us. And then I took my phone, or not my phone, my digital camera out, and I started just taking pictures. And I wasn't even looking at the pictures. I remember I was talking to people and we were all like super excited. Like, oh, that was so cool. And so I was just basically snapping my photos, you know, snap my camera, not really looking. I was just moving it around, taking pictures. And then I went through them the next day and I saw one of them had an orb in it. And I'm like, okay, whatever, I'll throw it up there. I don't think the orbs are end-all be-alls. I'm just going to state that for the record. But sometimes I think, you know, when you layer it in with other things like we had happening, then it's noteworthy, right? It's interesting.
Oh, yeah.
And and then this guy's like, did you see the angel? And I said, what? And I look, I'm like, oh, my God, that's a weird shape for a... doesn't look like a bug. Like, I don't know. I've never seen anything like that. And he goes, well, let me show you what I did when he ran some filter through it, color filter, whatever. He didn't edit or alter it, or he just changed the colors. And it showed this definition of, and it looked like an angel. I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, that looks like an angel. So I took the picture and I put it on my website, on my homepage. So if you want to see it, I can't find it in my computer, but if you want to see it, it's on myspiritexperience.com on the front, the main homepage. You can go and check it out.
I think it's right there, right? Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, it should just scroll down and you'll see it. But anyway, it was cool. And I was like, you know what? I don't care what anybody says. I'm going to say, yeah, it's real. Because we had just gotten done having a full-blown conversation with what I was told was an angel, and everything lined up. Everything was, and 12 people, 10, 12 people, whatever it was. We're like, yeah, that seemed legit. And so I would like to believe, yes, it was an angel, because I think there's a lot of good stuff out there that we don't talk about enough. So, yeah, I say it's an angel.
Yeah, I like it. I like it.
Yeah, Mike said in the chat room, real or not, the sentiment is comforting.
Yes, and it positive, right? And it gives people hope, you know?
Right.
So, but in conjunction with what you said, you know, and you had all those other experiences as well, you know, I mean, we don't know. That's like, you know, it's pretty tough to take a picture of a ghost too. You know, they're kind of, you know, can't really do it.
Yeah. I think Steph, I think something's happening with your microphone cord or something again. Just
okay. Sorry.
FYI.
Is that good?
Yep.
I'm moving over this way because obviously wiggle bottom over there. It's the wiggle bottom factor. Yes, you are.
The wiggle bottom's back for 2021.
Hey, I'm not. You didn't name me wiggle bottoms for nothing.
I did not. You earned it.
Absolutely.
Oh dear. Yeah.
So cool. Dave is asking, when you're talking about remote viewing, have you considered contacting Courtney Brown as a potential guest? I guess I'm not sure who Courtney Brown is.
I don't know who she is.
Do you know that name?
Nope. I do not. So I guess that's why we wouldn't have contacted her.
Yes. Yeah. It might be a good topic.
I like talking to people who do remote viewing as well, though, because I like to see how they do it. Yes. How it's different than how I do it. So.
Yeah. You know, it might be... might be fun to have a show on remote viewing, actually.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yeah. Is he local, Dave? Since he's been a big player in remote viewing for a long time. That'd be fun to have him. Or remote viewing, you know, the whole nine yards.
Yep. Yeah, it's cool. No, not local. Okay. Well, that's all right. Yeah, it's different. I mean, I think it's a little different for everybody how they do it, because we've talked to people who are like mediums or sensitives or whatever, and they've done some of that too. And they the way they talk about it, I'm like, oop, nope, doesn't work like that for me, which is fine. It's cool. It's just interesting to hear how it works for different people. So,
Well, and remote viewing is kind of a skill, right? It's something most people can learn how to do, is it not?
No, not necessarily. I think it can be learned. I don't think that just anybody can learn how to do it. I think there has to be some level of sensitivity there and some, you know, just not skill, but natural ability, I guess, for it. But it also has to be careful because bad stuff that can happen when you're doing it if you don't know what you're doing. So you have to don't just do it and fling yourself out there, because that can be
And it's kind of like astral projection, or, you know, what is it that we talk about with Bob Peterson?
Yeah, out-of-body experiences.
Out-of-body experiences, yeah. I mean, that's another thing, you know, it's all... I'm always afraid if I ever did stuff like that, I'd get lost and never come back, you know? So this is why I stay away. I think it would be pretty easy for me to pick up, but yeah, no. Not doing that.
Yeah. It would be... You have to be... I don't know. Could it happen... that you would get lost and not come back, I suppose, sure. But it's we're set up so that that really doesn't happen, you know?
Yeah.
But there are other things that can keep us from doing that, I think, or from coming back. And it's not necessarily doing an out-of-body experience when you're sleeping or astral projection. But I think I told you about that. I'll call it a wormhole because I don't know what else to call it, that I found at an investigation. It was just a little piece of it. But... what was weird is it was for spirits to travel. They were using it as a fast way to travel. And I said to Tim when we went there, I said, hey, we should sit in this area and see if we can go and check it out. Like, let's do a meditation and sit there. And we got clobbered so bad. Like, that was such a dumb idea to just throw out there. I'm like, hey, spirit guide, should we do that? And he's like, are you nuts? Like, what is wrong with you? Have I taught you nothing? I was like, oh gosh. I said, but I do remote viewing and astral travel. Like, what's the deal?
Yeah.
He's like, oh, you are kidding me. He's like, that's different. You don't just go into a wormhole. You're never going to find your way back. That's what got me, you know, starting to think, like, what if, you know, because we don't always know, like, where there might be something like that. And again, I don't say it's a wormhole. Like, I don't know what it is. But what if something happens? You know how people just, like, they go into a coma and they don't come back? Like, you know, right? And I know that it's not common, but stuff like that happens where people just like, they're just not there anymore. And you're that's like, what happened? I
mean. Yeah.
I wonder if that kind of stuff happens and we don't understand why that happened.
I've heard a lot of times people, when they're in comas, they really aren't. Maybe they found a better place that they liked better and that's where they went. And so their body is here, but their soul and their mind and their spirit is somewhere else.
Yeah. So anyway, I just thought that what if that was a thing that happened to more people than we realized, you know, or when they got, you know, when they went into a coma, somehow their soul got sucked into this thing. You know, maybe they went they had a car accident or something, which is awful, or something else. And then something happened and they got caught and that's why they can't come back. I don't know. I think it sounds scary.
I know.
Dave said they went into the Matrix. Maybe.
The Matrix. Yeah.
So Mike said that's the remote viewing is one way around COVID. Kind of. Yeah. You could travel without worrying about catching COVID because you are at home.
Yeah.
Safe travel. Well, you have to know what you're doing. I'm going to say that again. You have to know what you're doing. You can't just remote view yourself all over the place just for fun and you don't know what you're doing, because you can get caught up. When I first was doing it and I had no idea, this guy followed me back, this spirit, and he was crabby and he was an alcoholic. And I don't know if that's how he died, but I don't know how he died, but he was an alcoholic when he was living. And so he still had that like alcoholic energy because he was so attached to his house still. He was not even remotely close to transitioning and all that stuff. His spirit was still stuck in the house, hardcore connected to his human self, and he was crabby and, you mm-hmm. know, like drunk, I guess. And he followed me back. I didn't realize they could. And he followed me back through the portal that I was in to get to his house, because I was doing a remote view for a investigation, and scared the heck out of me. He jumped in and took over. And it felt like I was standing in jello behind my body, and I'm watching my body, and I'm watching. I remember my phone started dinging, and I saw, I'll say him pick it up because he was the one that was operating. It wasn't me. He picked it up and he's looking at it, and he's just sort of pushing. It was back when we had buttons on the phones, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so he's pushing buttons, and there's no lock function back then. You just push buttons and make things happen. So the phone's like making all this noise. So he's pushing buttons, whatever. And he texts my boss like 5 or 6 texts of gibberish, nothing. My boss thought I was drunk. I'm like, oh my God, this is a long time ago, right? When I still had a different job. So, but eventually I got back on. I'm like, sorry, my phone was malfunctioning. Whoops.
Yeah.
Oh dear.
Jerry posted a picture from a long time ago. You know, I mean, everybody can look at it, but because I remember when we took this photo years ago, and it's in the window of a old tuberculosis sanatorium up in northern Minnesota. You can see it from the road. The man who owns this never allows anybody to come in because he has enough trespassers, and I think he would like to demolish it, actually, but, you know, it costs a lot of money to demolish those asbestos-filled mm-hmm. structures. But we took some pictures one day as we were driving by, and we caught that picture. It looks like a ghost woman, and it does kind of look like an angel, but I think it looks more like a woman, faith mm-hmm. woman. It's yeah. very, you can feel it. It's kind of like Waverly. You know how when you get to Waverly, it's like you can feel them? It was the same way with this one. It was like you can feel them from it was on a lake. You could feel them from across the lake. You could feel them once you were on the road. And we tried multiple times to ask that owner if he would let us in to do an investigation. And he said, absolutely not. So no one's been in there, which is sad. Well, maybe not sad, but, you know, it'd be cool to do.
For sure. Yeah, but that so, I'd say that looks like a woman.
Yeah, it does. It looks like a woman kind of going like this or something. Yeah, mm-hmm. that was a good one. Yeah, yeah, those are few and far between. We love seeing them, though, when we get them, because they're so cool.
Yeah, I wish I could get more angel photos, though. You know what I mean? Like legit photos, because that would yeah. be, they're just, it's so cool, and it's comforting, you know, mm-hmm. when you see something that looks really amazing and beautiful that you're like, hey, there's some really good stuff out there. Mm-hmm. Not that I need angels to believe in them, of course not, but
yeah,
it's just like, wow, yay.
Yeah.
There's good stuff.
Yeah.
I love it.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. So, yeah, all kinds of crazy things, you know. I shouldn't say crazy. I keep saying crazy, but you know what I mean. It's yeah. just interesting. And for those people who don't, you know, believe in this stuff, which there are many, you know, they would probably just look at it and say, yeah, whatever, you know, no big deal. But anyhow, so to them, yes, it is crazy. To us, not so much, because we see it a lot, but that's what we say.
So
Mike is looking at your page. I do think it's the one at the very bottom, isn't it? I haven't looked at your page.
Yeah, it's in an oval like frame. So if you go to myspaceexperience.com and just the homepage, it should pop up, and just scroll yeah. down. There's a oval framed. I don't know. It should still be when I do the mobile view. I don't think I took it off of that. If you don't see it on your phone, then you have to go to a computer. Sorry about that. But I try and fix the mobile view so it's not just a big
mess of
stuff. Yeah. Because mm-hmm. doesn't that drive you nuts when you go to a mm-hmm. mobile view and it's just a hot mess? Mm-hmm. And then you go to their like website on your laptop, and it's like, oh, okay, that's
this better. Is really nice. Yes.
Because most people are on their phones nowadays, so I try really hard to make sure I stay on top of that. But I might have taken it off if it's on the phone. I don't know. Yeah. I should look on my phone. Anyway, yeah, it's an oval frame at the bottom of the picture, and that was the color like filtered version of it. And I blew it up because I have the photo somewhere, and it's white, just pure white. And the thing about that photo is that when you take a picture of like bugs or whatever, they have a certain shape that you can tell it's a bug. And some people yep. will say, oh, it's an angel. It's a spirit guide or whatever, and you're like, it's a bug, like for real. Yeah. And I've seen, and the guy that pointed it out to me, he actually was down there, and he's taken thousands and thousands of pictures down at this location. And he is like, I know bugs, and I know fairies, and I know all this stuff. He goes, this is none of them. He goes, I've taken thousands of pictures, and I will say a lot of this stuff is bugs and whatever. He goes, this is not a bug. It's not a fairy. It's not. This is an angel. I'm like, oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I'll take it.
That is cool. And we all, because we take so many pictures. I mean, one investigation, how many pictures do you think we take? A lot. A lot. Yeah. So, yeah, we know a bug when we see one. That's for sure.
So Mike put a new link to it. And yes, that's it. That's the photo. So thanks for putting the link on the chat room. That's the photo. And it looks, there's my angel. That's just a clip of, it's in the far right part of the photo that I took. So that's just the, you know, clipped version of it. But it looks like an angel. Like it's so, I think it's cool. And it makes me feel good. And that's all.
We need things that make us feel good. So
yes, we do.
It's wonderful.
So there's your angel for the new year. Your little, you have a little picture there for everybody to see if you're in the chat room.
There we go.
Angel for 2021.
Goodness.
We can all use it.
Yes, we could. We all need that. Absolutely. Yes. Wow, this hour has really gone by fast again.
Yeah. 4 minutes. Smorgasbord always does, though.
It does. It does. And this time, and you know, it usually, though, we get a lot more. People are talking a lot more different things. But I like that idea about having the show about remote viewing and getting a guest. That would be interesting. We'll see if we can get a hold of that guy, Dave. I'm going to write his name down. So we always get good stuff. We always get good ideas from these, which is awesome. But so it's good to have this once a month. And good news. Good.
Yeah, we'll try and do a show on that because that'll be cool coming up.
I think so, too. Well, tomorrow night, we'll put a plug in for the Calling Radio Show, which is our sibling show. And tomorrow night, they have one of our favorite people, Michael Bodine, on. Last week, the show was canceled because there was something wrong with Skype or something. I don't know. Something was going on. So that's tomorrow night. So that'll be a very fun show. Interesting, cool. You know. Michael's a wild man, so
that's an understatement.
Always a good show. Always a good show. I'm sure they'll talk about vampires, so which is one of my favorite things to talk to them about. So anyway, so that is going on tomorrow night right here on the Para X Radio Network at 8 p.m. Eastern.
And then next week
we're back on, and we have a couple of different subjects. We're not sure which one it's going to be at this point, but
we're working on getting a guest that I'm having a heck of a time. We talked about it last week, right? That I was going to get someone on to talk about spiders, right?
Yep.
And it seems like the people that study spiders are as secretive and elusive as spiders themselves. So I'm working it. I've got calls out and emails out for people that like, hey, does anybody want to talk about spiders on our show? We'd love to have you contact me. And I'm not hearing back from anyone. So I'll keep working on it because I want
to. Yeah, we'll keep working on it. And we're working on getting, talking about the eagles again at the DNR nest. And I'm hopeful I can get out there myself and have a look and take a few pictures that we can post too. But Lori Potter is our DNR gal that was on in May. So I'm we'll get her on in the next month too, so we can see what's going on over there, which is always fun. They're getting ready for those new babies or, you know, the new eggs. So, wow, lots of stuff going on right now.
There is a lot of stuff going on right now. So we're super excited about that. And some other topics that we haven't even mentioned yet, but we will get those out to you as we roll into this new year. Super exciting stuff, but thanks everybody for listening. Everybody in the chat room, wherever you are on the planet, thanks for listening. Para X, thank you so much for hosting us. Sarge, our most amazing producer, thank you as well. Mm-hmm. And troops,
thanks
right?
to the troops if they're listening. Be safe. Thank you for your service.
Yes.
And please, we will be back next week.
We will be back. Thank you. Have a great start to your new year, better start to your new year, and we'll see you next week.
Bye-bye now.